Auburn falls to Georgia again. Where do we go from here?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back, and we are ready to break down this Auburn versus Georgia Deep South oldest rivalry, this game that just ended a little bit ago. Auburn comes up short, runs out of gas a little bit late, 31-13. And, I mean, you feel like you played a decent game at times. You feel like they played at least good enough to keep it competitive. And at times you felt like maybe – you could possibly put it over the edge and maybe battle to maybe win late, but Auburn just runs out of gas. Don't have quite enough juice to make some the big plays you need to make on both sides of the ball, really, late to stay in the game, you know, maybe make a run to try to win it. So it was tough to watch. It kind of played out just like I expected it to play. I felt like they would be a stifling defense, kind of make us have to drive the length of the field to beat them. And that's what we did. We did have one big play. Obviously, Jarquez Hunter breaks the long one to score that got it back close. And then on defense, I felt like we would be able to handle them in the run game. I felt like we'd be able to stop the run okay. And we did at times. They did bust some at crucial moments, but I mean, they averaged under 4 yards a carry, 3.8 yards a carry. ETN is not your big pounder back, but he was able to bust some on those third and shorts, fourth and shorts, to be able to move the chains in crucial times. So, but overall, I felt like they handled the run well. I felt like they defended the pass better at times than I expected. They were able to complete some big plays late. In downs, they were able to pick on some of our defensive backs. Kay and Lee continues to struggle a little bit. It's two games in a row that he's struggled. But overall, again, I thought they played well enough to compete, well enough to actually have a chance to maybe win this one. You just don't quite have the players yet. You just don't quite have the guys yet. You don't have the discipline, that killer mentality to be able to go and make those plays. I can think of many of them, but we're going to dive into the positives, the negatives, and the outlook on the rest of the season. I think Vanderbilt just officially took down Alabama, which is wild. I don't celebrate those as much as I used to. I used to get way more fired up about that, but I'm just kind of locked into this rebuild, locked into seeing what Auburn can do to try to get to where they can win these games again, you know, make it a fun rivalry again, where it's exciting and you're not dreading the game versus, actually being excited to go play the game. Before we jump into that, let's give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code next round for a double up deposit bonus. Sign up today, use that coupon. You'll give them $200. They're going to give you another $200 back to play with. If you listen to the preview this morning, I told you to take Auburn plus the points. Take the points, and they did. They covered, played out kind of like I expected. So if you would have done that, doubled up your deposit bonus, you could have doubled up that bet with very little risk and won big. So check them out. They have a little bit of lines for everything as far as sports go. I mean, but you can bet literally anything. So check them out, mybookie.ag. I want to start with the negatives. Let's go ahead and start with the negatives. And then sort of, build our way back from that. But before, I guess we got a super chat that just came in. James Stallings, Alabama got Pavia'd. Yes, they did. that guy's a killer. It's crazy. I said he looks like he's 32 years old. He's like 32 years old, unathletic, not in very good shape, but he just deals. He just goes out there and deals. It's crazy. Like this team, the Vanderbilt team, almost, I think, didn't they struggle with Georgia State earlier this year or something like that? It's just wild. Completely crazy. They're rushing the field right now. It's crazy. But let's talk about negatives. So there were a couple of times, there was a couple of crucial times where if you just make a play, you got a chance to make this a game. I think early in the game, Auburn drives down and you got Cam Coleman one-on-one, which I love. I want that every single time. I want to get him to get a shot every single time. And, you know, Cam sort of runs himself out of bounds to where even if he makes the catch, which it went right through his hands, if he makes that catch, he's not going to be in bounds. So that's just freshman, young, letting the defender sort of carry you out of the play. That's something he's going to get better at. That play's probably going to work more than it's not over the next at least 2 years, assuming Cam stays, which I have no reason to think he's ever going to go anywhere. But yeah, like something like that. Then you got later in the game. I can't remember if the game was necessarily in reach at this point in time, but Peyton throws a dime to Malcolm Simmons in the red zone. Goes literally hits him in the stomach, like goes right through his hands. Like those two things to start the game off, you get a three and out to start the game off, but you have too many men on the field. We were subbing a lot, even when they weren't subbing. It's like we had a plan in place that we were going to have this quick substitution deal, even if they didn't sub. But they were actually, it's one of the first times I've seen a Georgia team really run tempo. Almost like they were expecting that, but they get us in a substitution penalty, extends the drive, they march down and score. I mean, we've seen that same song, verse, chapter in the book. Like every single, it seems like every single game we extend a drive with a penalty several times on, third and short, fourth and short, where you got to make a play and you just can't quite make the play. A lot of things that you can look at. We can talk about the fourth down call. I personally thought that was a little bit too early in the game to be going for it. That's the only time I've ever really second guessed actually going for it right there. But you know, Hugh said in his press conference, and I don't know, I got to go back and look at it, that they called a run, and for whatever reason, Peyton changed the play, saw something, but you could see immediately Jarquez Hunter looking like, what the heck? Like, that was the play. Like, what the heck? What's going on? And then Hugh was obviously upset as well. And that's kind of, even though Peyton, I thought, played well enough, he played good at times. Like, those are crunch time decisions where it's sort of a theme that you just got to pay attention to. I mean, it's a thing at this point in time. Crunch time. What's Peyton going to do? Now, I liked some of the stuff I heard from the offensive staff. I mean, the sideline reporter when they were coming out. Auburn had just driven down and gotten points or scored. And he came back and he started gathering all the wide receivers. He's like, hey, he told them they're about to start pinning their ears back on the run. We're going to have to take advantage here. And he's talking to the receivers and making sure everybody's on the same page. And that's like leadership stuff that you want to hear. Like that's leadership stuff that you want to hear. But when it gets crunch time, it seems like there's always going to be some sort of like just folding. Like you're just going to fold when the pressure's on. So it's tough to still feel like you're just really far, not necessarily super far away from Georgia, but you're just, you don't, even if you have your best game, you're not quite there yet to where you can compete with some of the better teams in the country. It's tough, even in your own conference, on your schedule that you play every single year. It's tough. We never played good in Athens. I thought we played decent at times, but just not good enough. And you let some crunch time mistakes and not the ability to have that dog yet to go make those plays keep you in it, so you got a chance to win. Now let's move to a little bit of the positives and then talk about the outlook, and then we'll get in the chat. If you want to make sure your questions ask, obviously hit the super chat. We'll have some fun here in just a minute. But positives. I thought that Auburn ran the ball really, really well at times pretty much the whole game. were able to keep Georgia off balance a little bit. Jarquez had another big game. And, you know, the offense in general, they were very conservative, tried to protect it, didn't want to give up the big play, maybe a little bit too conservative, which is funny because last week you're mad because you want them to be more conservative, and then this week they're conservative and you want them to be more aggressive. All in all, we just want to win. We just want to see wins. But, yeah, I thought Peyton, for the most part, played a pretty good game. Again, crunch time is tough, but that type of play from him, that type of play from this offense, I know it's crazy, but to think about when you're sitting here 2-4 and you're 0-3 in the league, that type of offense, that can win ball games. I don't think there's many defenses out there that you're going to face from here on out that are going to be as talented as that Georgia defense. And to be honest, I kind of felt like at times you had them off balance. You were able to have some big plays again. Again, this offense continues, no matter the opponent, to be able to create big plays. So it's there are some positives you can take away from, you can take away from the offensive performance. Defense, I felt like defense, this is the first time where I felt like maybe the defense could have made a few more plays, I guess, if that's the best way to say it. The last couple of games, you could say the defense kept you in the games. The defense gave you chances to win. I'm not sure that they made – I can't really remember a time where they made like a crucial, I don't want to say any times where they made a crucial play. There was a couple of big sacks early on from Keldrick Falk, who was getting sacks with a three-man rush, which was impressive. That when you really needed a play, when you really needed a big stop or a turnover or something like that, they just kind of wilted, especially when it's third and short, fourth and short. But overall, at times I thought they played still. I thought there was a bunch of positives to point towards. Again, we talked about Keldrick Falk. He's a monster. He's a beast. They were moving him around and he was playing injured and he was able to still play with a motor that I wish you would see more of the defenders play with. Like he was playing really, really well, and he was definitely getting beat up, dinged up so bad that they tried to go low on him late in the game, or not late in the game, like right there in the middle of the game. They tried to do a little chop block on him and ended up getting a 15-yard penalty, trying to do something to neutralize him because he was sort of a beast all over the place. Jay Crawford had another really big game. He was very good. Just overall, the young guys again continuing to make plays. Young guys are continuing to progress. You're just not quite there yet. Just not quite there yet. You still need more time and more development on that end. So, well, what's the outlook? So you got a week off, okay? And I think it comes at a really good time. I think this is a really good time to take a week off, a really good time to rest. We don't have that crucial injury, but we're dinged up. We're dinged up. We're sort of beat up, and it's time to really, really need a chance to sort of rest and get healed up for this last back half, because you just saw Missouri get waxed, and that's who you go up against next. You get the bye week to prepare for them, and you play them at 11 o'clock. Okay, so that's a good time that their crowd's going to be sort of out of it. Their crowd's not. It's just hard to get up for a 11 o'clock game. It's really tough to get up for an 11 o'clock game, and Auburn may be able to catch them licking their wounds, just getting stroked by Mizzou today. Or I'm sorry, by Texas A&M today. Then you go to Kentucky, who I still think, I mean, they play really good defense, but Kentucky's beatable. You can maintain that offense. And if you can continue sort of this, even though you have two losses, even though they yielded two losses, I feel like you're sort of being able to sort of establish something on offense with Peyton Thorne that's able to at least move the ball and get you into scoring situations. If you have a week off to sort of hone in, correct a little bit of the issues, and then you go into Missouri, maybe you can muster up enough to be able to knock that one off. I would be curious to know what that line opens at. I bet you it's low. I bet you it would be under, definitely, I would say it would be under a touchdown. I think it will be under a touchdown that game as far as what the spread will be. And I think Kentucky will also be a very close game from a spread perspective. So it's not going to be easy. I mean, now you got to play Vanderbilt, who just knocked off the number one team in the country in front of a raucous crowd of about 12,000. just going nuts. So there's not a lot of guarantees on the schedule. Actually, there's no guarantees. I guess Louisiana Monroe would be the closest thing to a guarantee, and I think they're having a pretty good season too. So there's no real guarantees. You're going to have to knock off somebody that you're probably not going to beat. You're going to have to knock off several that you're not favored against. This is it. If you want to get to a bowl game, if you want to get to postseason. So I still think Auburn's getting better. I still believe that. It's tough and it's crushing to lose to Georgia. It's tough to go out and feel like you just can't compete man for man with them. But at the same time, you can see little issues. You can see little things where you're getting better and you're getting better. So the outlook, I think, is still positive, even though it's tough to just wear these four losses to start off the year. It's tough to be 2-4 and 0-3 in the conference, but I do feel like you're getting better. You got to win one. You got to win one. I feel like if you win one, it could snowball into winning a little bit more. So that's what I got for tonight. We'll go in depth all this week, but I want to jump in the chat, see what you guys think. So and let's get into it and have some fun. So first one. I'm sorry, Chris Vogt, down goes Bama. Yeah, I was watching that just a second ago. Very shocking. Very, very shocking. I guess I can see it because of this, you know, the emotional ending to that game. And you're going to Vanderbilt, where honestly there was more Alabama fans there probably than there was Vanderbilt fans. And you really laid an egg. Like the defense – they kind of did a very similar game plan that New Mexico State did against Auburn, where it was, let's just dink and dunk and hold the ball forever and let's keep it out of that explosive offense's hands. And when they did get the ball, when Alabama did get the ball, they press, and they were just bogging down and weren't able to get it going. And then right there at the end, when you got to make a stop, Kane Womack, I'm changing the culture. It's going to be a new era of Alabama defense. And they just – Vanderbilt just kind of punched him in the mouth right there, gets the last first down with very little time left, and then they get to kneel it. I mean, did you ever think you'd see victory formation, Vanderbilt versus Alabama? I don't think so. It's kind of crazy. But, yeah, they did lose. That doesn't make me feel any better, but I know that does help a lot with some folks. It makes a loss like this maybe a little bit easier. But I just don't quite get the enjoyment out of Alabama losing as I used to. Harrison W53, give him a seat in the Senate, give him a seat in the governor's mansion. Like, this dude owns Alabama. Diego Pavia is a beast. I don't get it. I really do not get it. He is the most unathletic dude. He has no arm strength. It's crazy. He just doesn't even look. He reminds me a lot of a very, very smaller version of Jared Lorenzen, even though Jared Lorenzen had a pretty arm. Like the way he, you know, his release, everything was very technically beautiful. Diego's not, but he just gets it done. It's crazy. It's crazy how he just goes out there and gets it done. It's wild. Let's see. James Rutten, if we had handed off to Jarquez on every typical running down, his numbers are going to suffer. The only way to maintain the good yards per carry is to force a passing game in for good or bad. I mean, James, that's common sense to me, but it's not common sense to a lot of people. Like I actually applaud you for understanding that. I know a lot of people are going to say, they're going to look at Jarquez and say, oh, he only got 13 carries. He was averaging, you know, whatever he was averaging. I think it was 7 yards a carry. Why couldn't he get 20 carries? If he got 20 carries and he's averaging 7 yards a carry, blah, 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 blah. Now, look, I would love to see Jarquez get more touches. But then the same people say, oh, I wish we would get, you know, Keandre Lambert-Smith more targets, or I wish we would get Jeremiah Cobb more touches. Or it's like, okay, when you say Jarquez, you want Jarquez to have 20 carries, that takes away from others. But the main point that you made is balance is what's making Jarquez have such a good year. Balance is what's giving him the ability to just be able to rip off, you know, 15, 20, 30 yard runs like he does. And not only that, but he's very talented as well. So if you can couple that together, and he actually got some touches in the passing game too. So he had two or three receptions where they were essentially extended runs, like, you know, extensions of a run. They were short passes that they schemed up to be able to get him in space. He's a beast, but I agree. You have to have some sort of passing game to be able to continue to have the output that Jarquez Hunter has. Now, I would like to see more in more crucial situations. I know that you got to have answers. I know when you go to the line, you got to have answers. Okay. So I'm not saying call a 32 power or 32 dive, whatever it is. I'm not saying you call that and then that's just it. And you just try to run it right over somebody. I'm okay with answers, but I want a lot of the different answers just to be to Jarquez. I don't even know how you do that, but I'd like to see a lot more of the answers be Jarquez versus, you know, pull it and run it with a quarterback or pull it and throw it to, you know, a receiver when it's crucial and you need to get a carry. You know, if it's changing the run play or changing, you know, I don't even really know how to execute it, but I just want more of the answers to be Jarquez versus the alternative. But I do agree. I think the ability to throw the ball, which we threw it for 200 yards, I think he threw for like 80 against Georgia last year at home. You threw for 200 yards. You ran for 137. And I think you held them. People are going to kind of bang on the defense. They averaged like 450 yards a game, and you held them to 380. So they played pretty good. They did play pretty good, you know, once you really go back and look at it. Let's see. Simple Glockenspiel, 5405. AU did a lot better than I thought they would against UGA. Being an Auburn fan is tough, but I'll always stick with them. It's a good attitude to have, and it's kind of the way I feel. I actually expected him to cover, and I did expect a little bit more offensively. I think we were, I don't want to sound like I'm being a hypocrite, but I do feel like we're a little bit too nervous to turn it over, a little bit too nervous, a little bit not, you know, free to rip it, I guess, down the field. And Thorne was ripping it at times. Like he made that first drive. Was it the first drive or the second drive? I think it was maybe the second drive because we got the ball first, and I think we punted, and then they scored. But that second drive, he made a couple of throws on the run where he was putting it on the money. Like the first play, one of the first big plays where he rolls out and kind of lofts it up and hits Keandre Lambert-Smith in between two defenders. Like those were, you know, really good plays. I wish we would have gone to that a little bit more, but, you know, obviously, we didn't. We were trying to protect the ball. And we were in the game, and you don't want to have a big turnover. And then everybody's like, oh, why weren't you more conservative? So, it's tough. You can't win for losing. Cody Cater, next round isn't going to do a show about Bama losing, but sure as heck will about Auburn. Look, those guys are great. Let's don't go there. Like, they're giving us a platform. Okay, this place exists because of the next round. There's some really good dudes. Dunaway's great. Ryan Brown's great. Lance Taylor's great. Taylor Korn, all those folks love us and love what we do, and they give us the ability to do what we do. So I'm not going to bang on them for that. So it just kind of is what it is. But I mean, I see where you're coming from, just based off the stigma of them being Alabama guys. And, you know, some of them have not made really bones about it. They're Alabama fans, but still they give us the platform that we have and they love us and pump us up. So I'm going to always love and support them as well, no matter what they choose to do. Madison, AU chief, even Vandy is experiencing good football vibes right now. What twilight zone hell are we living in? I don't even really know what to say. I don't really know what to say to you. I mean, you could say, hey, we got time to, we need to get better. We need to, you know, this, we need to that. But like, you got Vandy right there that just knocked off the number one team in the country. So Auburn's been there, has been close at times over the last you know, four years. But at some point in time, you got to punch one, you got to make it happen. So like, we were talking about just bad luck. I mean, there's so many things, even you could look in this game, that's just like continues to just to be like a string of bad luck. It's almost like we sold our soul on the, you know, in 2013, like you've expended all of your good luck. Like for example, they scored one of the touchdowns they score was the one that was sort of controversial. They reviewed it. Well, it just so happens that the referee that's looking at the play calls him short, but the referee that whose view was completely obstructed calls it a touchdown. And it's called a touchdown on the field, and therefore it can't be – I mean, it's got to be indisputable evidence. And the guy that was on the opposing side that was looking directly at the play, who had the best line of sight, was he looked angry. I'm going to be honest. He looked mad that was called. Like, he looked mad that it was that guy overruled him. Because he was like, I'm looking right at it. You know, I'm looking right at it. What are you talking about? So – that's an example of just bad luck. Like the wrong guy got to overrule the other guy, and it's the on the field thing is what matters. And then you can't overturn it because you don't get a good video angle of it to see that he was maybe short. I think it happened again early in the game where it was a fourth and short where they didn't even really try to measure it. Or review it. They just gave it to him and moved the chains, and it looked like pretty clearly he was short. So Auburn does seem to be a little bit snake bit. And sometimes, you know what? You got to create your own luck. Sometimes you got to just stop feeling sorry for yourself and make a play and create your own luck. And I think Auburn's getting close to that, and it may only take one time for something like that to happen. And then, you know, maybe they can bust through. I think I just thought of the touchdown pass. It kind of was the backbreaker. It goes through the hands of one receiver and into another. I guess that's payback from all the way back to 2013, even though Georgia's had plenty of payback. I mean, just freaky kind of stuff like that seems to continue to happen. Mr. Beautiful, I predicted Bammer to lose. I don't believe you. You must predict them to lose every week. If you predict them, you're probably the guy, and I respect you for it. You predict them to lose every single week, and hey, eventually you're going to get one right. If you did that, if you predict them to lose, and it wasn't a troll and it was serious, hey, I need you to jump in my DMs and give me some sports bets, because that's pretty amazing. Let's see. Rigger Spoon. I'm sorry, talent has nothing to do with our coaching. You coach what you got and make do, and Hugh can't do that. Look, it's hard to argue with that. I do think there's context to everything. And if you just look at this from wins and losses, I mean, it is what it is. But I think there's context to everything. And if everything's just black and white, you can't really have an honest conversation. Now, I do think talent has a lot to do with several of the situations that have happened. And I think there's coaching that has – maybe you make some coaching decisions that you typically wouldn't because you're not comfortable with your talent, or you don't quite know how they'll react yet. I think there's some issues to that. I definitely don't agree with you. Q can't do that. I think that's silly. To be quite frank, I think that's silly. But I do understand the point of view that it does seem like coaching at times seems to bite us a little bit. Harrison again, Jay Crawford. He's going to be good. Yes, he is. He goes out there. One of the things I love, he's great in coverage, but he's also a great tackler. And I think last week he rated as PFF's top tackler for Auburn, or maybe the second top. Caleb Harris was the top tackler. Jay Crawford was second. So not only is he good in coverage, he's also a really good tackler. I agree. He is going to be really good. That kid's not going to be here longer than 3 years. He is an NFL player. Alan Brooks, not being negative here, just honest. Freeze has got to get better at situational football, or it won't matter if we have the number one recruiting class. I assume maybe you're talking about the fourth down play. I'm not 100% sure. I think you're maybe talking about that. And if that's the case, I mean, it's all you can do is go by what he tells us. And he said that it was a dive play that Peyton kind of took liberties of making into a read. I don't know if that's what you're referring to, but maybe that's what you're talking about. And I don't know that I would have gone for it there. I think I would have punted it and just seen you're only down, I think at that point in time, 11, which is very manageable. Make them drive the whole field. And, you know, you were getting some stops. So if you make them drive the whole field, you never know if it was closer to the 50 or across the 50, I 100% would have gone for it. But no, I think we were only on like our own, you know, 40 or 45, maybe. I just didn't see. And there was 9 or 10 minutes left to go too. Like, I think it was a little bit too quick, to doing that. Let's see here. Jay Flowers. I will say this. Number one recruiting classes make your situational coaching a whole lot easier. They make your situational coaching a whole lot easier to execute. So I don't know that I agree with that second part either. If you get the number one recruiting class, if you have those top recruiting classes several years in a row, it makes the decisions easier. There's less things to think about. Oh, will this player do this? Oh, will this player do that? No, I got a stud right guard. I got a stud right tackle. I'm going to run right behind their tails, and we're going to pick up this first down. I'm not trying to coach the most perfect play. So I get what you're saying. I do. I totally get it. And I understand there's probably some things you can point to say there's been some situationally we've had some issues. But again, I still think talent has a lot to do with some of the decision making that you've had to make. And I'm not trying to put it's like Daryl Dappert's like to say two things can be true at the same time. So I think this may be a case of that. Let's see. Jay Flowers. What's up, C5? Big fan. Been listening to you for years on Locked On. I never caught you live. What's up, War Eagle? Hey, bud. Appreciate you jumping on, War Eagle, back to you. We're here every Saturday after the game. Last Saturday had a little weird scheduling conflict, and plus I was sad, but typically we go live right after the game. And every Sunday night, though, it's on the schedule, 8 p.m. We'll do that 52 weeks out of the year, you know, barring Sunday night being on Christmas or something like that. Like, we're going to be doing, and that's where we have a lot of fun. Let's see. Harrison W 53, false start before the half on 3rd and 3, killed us, could have ran the clock out at half and we picked that up. Situationally, I'm having a hard time remembering how that second half played out, but I know that they ended up getting the ball back with, you know, a little over a minute and scored, obviously, and made it tough for us. I got to go back and watch again. I haven't had time to go back and watch to know all the situations, but that's something I'll look at. RR Big Cat. Young guys played hard. Senior level guys keep causing issues. We out coached ourselves over and over. We don't put guys in positions to succeed. Well, you just said the young guys were playing hard, so you're putting them in positions to succeed, and they are at times. Senior level guys keep causing issues. I do think there are some senior guys that are maybe not, maybe they're in sort of a little bit of a complacency mode. It's just sort of like we're used to it by now, type thing. And maybe, I don't know if there's still guys that you got to lean on though. You're still a little bit thin, especially on offensive line, talking about like Percy Lewis, not seeming to know or putting into any effort at the beginning of the game when you had those two big sacks where they show the film and you're like, or the replay, and you're like, what are you doing? And then, you know, some of our senior linebackers, I love Eugene Asante and I love Austin Keys, but man, sometimes it's like, man, there needs to be a play made and those guys just aren't making them, especially in coverage. Like, they're not able to close fast enough to pick up running backs out of the backfield. Like, some of the senior guys, I'm with you there. It's kind of tough. Let's see. again, Harrison W53, do people remember our recent trips to Athens? I mean, this was the best in a while. This kind of gets into like moral victories, but it is true. I mean, it is true that there are times we played better in Athens than we have in quite a while. So there is definitely some truth to that, but I don't know that's something we really want to celebrate other than we're getting closer to being where we want to be. Super chat. War Dank Eagle. Love that name. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate for your support. Now it's up to South Alabama to save the state from total defeat for the week. Who are they even playing? Who is South Alabama playing? Their little quarterback is a baller. His name's like Gio Lopez or something like Gio something. And I don't think he throws incompletions. I think it's kind of just impossible for him to throw an incompletion. Let's see who they're playing this week. I know they got sort of run out of the gym by LSU last week. They're down 3-0 to Arkansas State with a minute to go in the second quarter. So, yeah, definitely need – Troy got smoked. Troy got smoked. Alabama gets beat by Vanderbilt. Auburn loses to Georgia. You need South. I don't know what North Alabama or any of those other schools, but as far as Division I goes, come on, South. Dig deep and win this for the state so we don't get completely shut out. I would love to know that stat. Has that ever happened? I'm sure it has. When's the last time every single Division I school in the state of Alabama lost on the same weekend? That'd be kind of sad if that actually happened. So come on, South. We're pulling for you. Let's see. Will Barkley. I get it, man. Bama losing to Vandy makes this loss not so bad. Time to troll Locked On Bama. I'm glad that you can take solace in this, man. It's fun. It's a lot of fun sometimes. But, they did. I can't believe they blew that. After the number one ranking and just completely – the first time Vandy's ever beat the number one team in the country – they rushed the field and I don't even think they arrested anybody. It wasn't enough people to really cause any ruckus. So they just kind of let them party. Michael Quick, Percy Lewis needs to get it together. He's been a major disappointment so far. You know, I don't want to go too hard on him, but I mean, it is what it is. He struggled, but he's probably one of the best we have. Unfortunately, really struck out early on some guys that you really wanted, and maybe from the structure standpoint of your off the field staff, you weren't quite ready to be able to pounce on dudes like that and make it happen. But I don't know that that's going to happen. I think you're going to be ready moving forward as far as working the portal and being able to take advantage when you got guys that you can close out that can make a difference. Percy was one of the best of what we could get at the time because we just missed out on so many guys. So, he's doing the best he can. He's got to be tougher. He's got to be better. He's really good against the run. He just really struggles. He struggles in obvious passing sets. And with Xavier Miller still being dinged up, man, it makes it even harder. I thought earlier they should have gone to Dylan Wade out at left tackle and then put Braden Joyner in at guard. And I think they ended up putting Dylan Wade at right tackle at some point in time. But I'll go back and look at that as well. I haven't really had time to review the whole deal. Let's take a couple of them. Let's take a couple of more, and then we're going to call it a night. Johnny Barner, one of our regulars. I'm not even mad. At least we didn't have any turnovers. Yeah, we protected the ball, but at what cost? Feel like we stifled our own offense a little bit. But, you know, that's some kind of positive that you can carry into the next week. Let's see. Let's go with Will Barkley here. This is a good question. RPO. So who's calling the plays? A lot of it is Thorne's decision. If you listen to the show a couple of weeks, I guess it was maybe last week or the week prior where we had Tyler Siski on, he said they were in a bowl game when he was coaching with Freeze. They're playing Pittsburgh, I think. And they called 27 plays straight and it was the same play. Okay. So how does that work? So they call a play. And that play, within that play, there's probably four or five different decisions that can happen to where it makes that way that play's executed look completely different, whether it be a run, whether it be a quick screen out, whether it be a dig, whether it be a quarterback run. And they call it over and over and over again. So I don't know. I think I would love to have someone ask What is the percentage of plays that are RPOs versus just traditional play calls? Now, a lot of times people think, oh, if they just don't call RPOs and just call traditional play calls, it takes the decision-making out of it. And that's just simply not the case. Why, when you go up to the line and it's not an RPO, like you're looking at the, you don't just, if the receiver's going to, if you call a play and the receiver, one of the receivers is running a route that's going to run right into the coverage, a lot of times those receivers have choice routes. Those receivers have the ability and the freedom to run off that. And the quarterback has to see that. Like there's protections that have to change. Like you go up there, you call a play. Well, then the quarterback has to set the offensive line protection. So just because it's an RPO and they have to make decisions, that doesn't mean that the other plays you don't have to make decisions. Like, we got to understand that. Like, I've been talking with Coach Al Borges a little bit, and that's one of the things that he talked about. And I may get him on for the bye week for some content and let him kind of explain that to us and all the decision making that has to happen, even if it's not an RPO. So, but I would like to know what the percentage of RPOs versus regular plays are. I wish somebody would ask that in the press conference. Let's see. Well, Die Hard War Eagle Pavia struck again. I guess he was not good enough for Auburn to get out of the portal. Look, you can go down the line. Okay. Kyle McCord, he's leading the country in passing right now. Auburn probably could have got him. Diego Pavia, Auburn probably could have got him. There's a couple of more that I'm sure if Auburn really pushed for, they probably could have gotten him. And they probably, in hindsight, would have made a really big impact on this season. Maybe you've lost four games. I think either one of those guys, you may only lose at two of those games instead of four. So, and maybe even three of those games. But the way that Hugh looked at it, there was a couple of guys that were game changers, Riley Leonard, Cam Ward. You couldn't get them for whatever reason. You probably could have got Riley Leonard, but I think he kind of made you mad and hurt your feelings. You probably could have gone back and got him, but you moved to Cam Ward, figured out that wasn't going to happen. You had your boy from Liberty, Caden Salter, who you probably could have gotten if the grades thing worked out, and he may still be there in December to bring him in this upcoming year. But after that, if you continue to just go after quarterback, at some point in time, you just completely lose your whole quarterback room. So it's you got to walk a fine line of being able to get somebody and then not running, showing that you have no faith in what you have in the quarterback room, and then running everybody off. And also, you waste so much time trying to get a quarterback, you may not be able to build around it. And then on top of all that, all the funds that you get to save and put towards high school recruiting, I understand why they made the decision they made. Okay. In hindsight, it sucked. In hindsight, they should have got somebody. In hindsight, you should have taken Kyle McCord. In hindsight, you maybe should have given a look at Diego Pavia. I get why they did what they did. And I think it's going to yield huge dividends for this 2025 class, because you were able to shift funds that would have gone towards a portal quarterback all towards this 2025 class to get them locked in. That's why you're still able to get guys like Deuce Knight when you're 2-4. That's why you're able to hold on to all these guys when you're going through this time. So I totally get it. I understand on the surface you passed over all these guys that could have made Auburn better, but I think there was a lot of reasons. There are a lot of reasons why they did what they did. Let's see. Let's take two more and then call tonight. Let's see. Sorry, I'm trying to find a good one. It's not the same people over and over again, even though I really appreciate you guys for all your questions. Let's go here. Pastor P-Dub. Everyone was saying this year's roster was better than last season's, but it looks like this roster is going to have a worse record. Make it make sense. So it doesn't make sense, because I'll also say that they're playing better football. I mean, if you just really look at the numbers, they're playing better football, but they're going to have a worse record. Maybe have a worse record. At least it's starting off that way. It is kind of crazy that they're playing. There's more offensive output head over heels than it was last year. I think the defense, even at times, is playing better than it did at last year. But you're 2-4. It's kind of crazy that you can feel like your roster's better, you're playing better football, but you're 2-4. So there's definitely some things you got to work through. Let's keep going. And then LB4AU Bird, Eugene admitted he didn't play well on a post-game radio show. I agree with him. That was not one of his better games, and at least he recognizes it. So that, you know, that's a good thing. I agree with Will Barkley. Impressed with Malcolm Simmons' attitude and the attitude of not giving up. He's going to be a good player. He's going to be really good. He kept playing. He kept fighting. He made some catches right there at the end when honestly they didn't super matter. He made some big catches and took some big hits even after the one he dropped. Like I've seen the culture of this, you know, Auburn over the last 3 or 4 years to where typically if you drop that pass, you sulk and it's over and you're kind of done. He kind of keeps going back in there and is making some really tough catches in traffic. So I think he's going to be a really good player. One more and we're going to call it a night. Let's see here. One more. We're gonna call it a night. Circa Surrealist still not getting Jarquez enough carries. We kind of talked about this. I agree with you. I wish that there was more answers to where when you go up to the line and you have checks and you have answers to what you're given, you got to have an answer for it. I'd like more of the answers to be Jarquez. I would love to see him get more than, you know, 13 carries. I'd love it to be somewhere around that 18. Now, he did have some touches in the receiving game. He did have, I think, 3 receptions. I know he had 2 catches. This is not correct. I know he had 2 catches. It says 1 catch for 16 yards. I know he had 2 catches. I'm positive he had 2 catches. So, I know he had 2 catches plus 13 carries. That's 15 touches. I'd love to see it closer to 20. I think he's that good and that important. Don't know if it's the flow of the game or whatever, but I think it's I would love to see him get – obviously, I agree with you. I'd love to see him get some more touches. Guys, I think that's it for tonight. I'm going to take time. I'm going to really dive into the game, make some calls, get some intel on recruiting, and we'll talk about recruiting tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Y'all don't forget, jump in and let's get in the mix. I'll go get through my stuff quickly, and then we'll be able to take a lot more questions and have some more fun. So I really appreciate it, guys. Thanks for listening. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter at @_Charlie_5. We're going to be back every single day. We're basically going 7 days a week. So just get ready for it. We're coming right at you. And so you better, if you don't like it, you just turn it off because we're coming. So guys, I really appreciate it. War Eagle. And we'll see you next time. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay button.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.